This is the Parsec Award-winning show, the Renaissance Festival Podcast, show number 248.
Hey, Nicole.
Hey, Liz.
So I heard about this really cool concept. It's called the Celtic Invasion of Cornwall.
The Celtic Invasion of my heart.
Yeah. This show is brought to you by the Celtic Invasion of Camelot. I mean Cornwall. I mean my heart.
I mean my heart. Mark Gunn leads the Celtic Invasion. So he's got a feather in his kilt, and you can follow that feather as he invades Celtically. I'm talking about a vacay, a sweet summer vacay.
A fun invasion.
Yeah, a sweet vacay.
Mark Twain said, "Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of men and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth all one's lifetime."
That's true! This is Mark Gunn of Celtic Invasion, and he understands that you're supposed to go out and expand your mind.
You just head to Cornwall because it is believed to be the legendary home of Camelot.
Fun fact.
The stories here are very deep.
They're deep.
The history runs deep.
100% factual.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Camelot, 100% factual. You know Camelot, right? You know Camelot?
I know, love this Celtic nation located in the southwesternmost part of England.
South.
But more importantly, Mark Gunn is going to Cornwall.
Yeah, he's actually going. The point of all of this is that he is traveling unto Cornwall, capital of Camelot in my heart.
So the official itinerary goes online in August
2015. Boom.
You know, get on this. Follow this trip.
You gotta get on this. You can go to CelticInvasion.com.
Get on that mailing list.
Doing a little type in going on Celtic Invasion, checking this out. Because this sounds really interesting.
And prepare yourself for the trip of a lifetime.
Prepare thyself.
Prepare unto thyself. We're the Rude Tutors. I'm Liz Rodriguez.
I'm Nicole Keating.
And check out Mark Gunn's website, CelticInvasion.com.
Is what he seeks tonight. So my princess, my prudish princess, to fear is only right. 'Cause on princess, on virgin princess, the dragon feeds tonight. If fair maiden, you wish fair maiden, I'd like to set things right. There's fair maiden, away fair maiden, to keep you safe tonight.
Renaissance Festival Podcast. I am your host, David. We have a special podcast. We are on site at the Louisiana Renaissance Festival, and we will be doing interviews with some of the performers here at the fair. That first song you heard was Dragon Feeds Tonight by Boogie Nights from Cavalier Attitude. We would like to thank all our patrons for giving of their monetary means to help this podcast going. There are 12 patrons pledging $24 per show. Our newest patrons are Mike Mestemaker and Gary Clark. We'd also like to give a special thanks to Renee Lewin and Stephen Conroy. They will get the podcast 5 days before it is released to the general public. They will hear the extended version show with at least 4 more songs and no commercial ads. And they will receive a CD from the podcast library for every 12 podcasts they remain at that level. Well, let's get on with the show. Our next song up is Skipping to Dublin by Keyhaul from a Marantine tradition.
It's that time again. Step back in time and enjoy everything the 16th century has to offer at the Louisiana Renaissance Festival. From creative foods to historical demonstrations and interactive entertainment for kids and adults, there is something for everyone. You don't want to miss the excitement this November. Visit our website for details, www.larf.org.
As I was a-walking one morning for pleasure, to hear the birds whistle and the nightingales play, it's there I espied a beautiful maiden, as I was a-walking all on the highway. Oh, where are you going, my fair pretty damsel? Where are you going so early this morn? She said, I'm going down to visit my neighbors, I'm going to Warwick, the place I was born. Well, then may I come with you, my fair pretty darling? May I come along in your sweet company? How she turned her head and smiling all at me, said, you may come with me, kind sir, if you please. Thank you. hadn't been walking but a few miles together before this young damsel she chanced to show free. She sat herself down, saying, "Sit down beside me, and the games we shall play shall be 1, 2, and 3. Well, I said, "Me fair maid, if you're fond of the gaming, there's one game I know I should like you to learn. The game it is called, the game of all fours." So I took out my pack and began the first turn. She cut the cards, and I fell to dealing. I dealt her a trump, and myself the poor jack. She took out her ace and stole me jack from me, saying, "Jack is the card I like best in your pack. Since you dealt them last time, it's my turn to shuffle and my turn to deal the best card in the pack." Once more she the ace and the deuce for to beat me. Once again I had lost when I laid down poor Jack. So I took up my hat and I bid her good morning. I said, "You're the best that I know at this game." She said, "Me young man, if you come back tomorrow, we'll play the game over and over and over and over again."
That last song you heard was "The Game of Cards" by Kenny Cline from Little Birds of Desires. So I have some guests this time. Here we'll let them introduce themselves. We'll start here on the right.
I'm Andrew McKee, the Irish Bard.
Jack Bold, Lord of Adventure.
And I'm Roger Awesome, Lord of Adventure. And we're twins, not yeah. Andrew, but Jack is yeah. And I, not Andrew. He's a good guy, but he's not my twin brother.
He doesn't have a beard.
You could adopt me.
We could so adopt you. Our mom's a fairy. She gets around.
Hey, yeah, that'd be yeah. great.
We might be related.
Yeah.
So anyways, these fellows have agreed to sit in and answer a few questions for us on this podcast. So our first question is, what was the funniest interaction you have had with a patron at fair?
At any fair or just this fair?
No, any fair.
Wow. That's a question.
Oh, you know something's popped in your head already. That helps you.
At any fair, I do have one. It happened very early on. It's patron had taken my bandmate's tuner. It's a chromatic tuner, a little electronic tuner used
took
to
it.
Tune your instrument. Yes, took it and decided to put it down her cleavage. And toyed with him for a while. He didn't really know how to handle it. And I was trying to, okay, do this. And then finally, we needed to leave. Another group was coming up. I've got this! And I jump off the stage, which was about a few feet off the ground, and land head first into her cleavage and withdraw it with my teeth. If I'd doing it lots of other times, couldn't have done it. It was just one of those one-in-a-million situations.
I once was, in another incarnation, I was playing a German fightmaster named Hans Tollhofer. And I was offering 2 killings for the price of 1.
Nice.
On the festival day only. It was a joke. But I had this fellow and his girlfriend who were like, yeah, we want to get the 2 killings for the price of 1. I was like, oh, yes, this is 2 killings for the price of 1. And he said, and I was like, all right, well, who do you need to have killed? He said, well, her father. And I was like, all right, good. And so they start laying out a very detailed map and like, now, all right, you can go around the back of the house. And that door is never opened. And he's always sleeping right in the recliner right there. And I kind of think they might have actually thought I was going to go kill this fellow. By the end of that interaction, I was actually a little terrified because, yes, they were very serious and they were very excited about it because apparently he didn't approve of the fellow. And so I was supposed to go and I had a map and they told me where to go. And that I could get in right through the back door because it never was locked. And he'd be sleeping right there.
Wow, that is weird.
Yeah, it was intense.
Let me think. My funniest moment, like myself, it would be in another incarnation. Young days, I was doing a leopard show. I had a leopard. It was awesome. It had spots. And it was a rain day. And if you don't know anything about, most cats don't like rain. Like tigers do. But most cats don't like water, really. And so we had to pretty much cancel the leopard show. And a lady came up, and she was like, oh, you're going to cancel the leopard show? And I'm like, oh, yes. And she said, well, why? And I said, well, let me explain it to you. Do you have a cat? She's like, yes, I have a cat. I'm like, I want you to go home. I want you to take the cat. I want you to stroke it. I want you to love it. I want to snuggle with it. And then I want you to jump into the shower. And she was like, oh. Now imagine that cat is now 90 pounds and can rip your face off. And we both had a little laugh. And she said, well, I guess you're not going to have the leopard show. And I'm like, yeah, okay. You're right.
No. Never too late.
Ooh, the Mad Hatter's here. Oh, we love that guy.
The Mad Hatter has
no time to say hello, goodbye. I'm always late, late, late.
Well then, Mad Hatter.
Hello.
The first question we're asking him, what was the funniest interaction you have had with a patron at Fair?
Funniest interaction. Oh, let's see. Funniest interaction. I do believe it was near the Shire booth. One of the booth owners, Orleans, it's quite scandalous. I walked in and this poor man was just scared to death. He was trying to pay for his purchase a little ways away. I said, what's wrong? She says, he's scared that I'm going to pinch his booty. I told her, like, I don't think you have to worry about Orleans as much as everyone else here. The poor man was about 3 shades red by the time he left the booth. At least he was light-hearted about it.
Yes, that's good. That's good. The next song up is We Are the Lost Boys from The Lost Boys from their self-titled album, The Lost Boys.
Convenient.
Very convenient. Lost Boys.
Yes. I want to hear that song about The Lost Boys, by The Lost Boys in The Lost Boy album.
Ooh, I wonder if they got lost.
Sounds like it.
We know they're boys.
You've shed your youth. You've fed your swine. You've served up mutton and meat pies and scones for supper time. But your day of hard labor is finally through. You deserve a toast and a tail and a pine and a fair and cool brew.
And sing a song, 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 song. Your name and your fortune, and then she says to you, my dear, is this all? So bring her some roses and kick off those shoes. You deserve the best of the whole Scottish race, and all you got is yours. Song, 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 song.
We are the lost boys, my friend.
My friends, and we'll keep on singing
Queen Elizabeth from the White Hart Renaissance Festival. You are listening to the Renaissance Festival podcast.
Now, Mrs. McGraw, the captain said,
would you like to make a pirate out of your son, Ted?
With a scarlet cloak and a fine top hat. Now, Mrs. McGraw, wouldn't you like that? Yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya, yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya.
Now, Mrs. McGraw lived on the seashore for a space of 7 long years or more. She spotted a ship coming into the bay. This is my son Teddy, won't you clear the way?
Yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya, yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya.
Ahoy there, Captain, where have you been? Have you been out sailing on the Mediterranean? Have you any news of my son Ted? Is the poor boy living or is he dead?
Yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya, yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya.
Then up steps Ted without any legs, and in their place there were 2 wooden pegs. She kissed him a dozen odd times or 2, cried, holy Moses, it couldn't be you.
Yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya, yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya.
Now was you drunk or was you blind when you left your 2 fine legs behind? Or was you just walking out on the bay that tore your legs from the knees away?
Yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya, yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya.
No, I wasn't drunk and I wasn't blind when I left my 2 fine legs behind. A big cannonball on the 5th of May tore my 2 fine legs from the knees away.
Yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya, yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya.
Now, Teddy, my boy, the old widow cried, your 2 fine legs were your mommy's pride. The stumps of a tree won't do it all. Tell me, why'd you not run from that big cannonball?
Yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya, yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya. Now, foreign war I do profane against Don Juan and the King of Spain. I'd rather have my Teddy as he used to be than the King of France and the whole navy. Yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya, yippee-tooraya, ba-da-da-da, a-tooraya-oo-ra-oo-ra-ya.
Okay, that last song we just heard was Mrs. McGraw by Chase Treasure.
Nice.
From their self-titled album, Chase Treasure. And our next question up is, how did you get started performing at Renaissance fairs?
Oh, how scandalous. I blame it on the tea.
Well, this is Roger Awesome here. I started attending the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair in 1997, year of our Lord. Ooh. And, I attended in 96, and my friends and I went dressed as Scotsmen. So the next year, I auditioned because I did not want to pay to get in.
Ah.
So, and then from there, I spent 2 years in the volunteer acting company, traveling 2 hours, twice a week, each direction, from the Isle of Jersey to get to the hearty, creepy realm of Pennsylvania.
Mm.
And did it, loved it. And then on the third year, I joined the professional acting company. And then a couple years after that, I joined the directing staff. And then eventually, myself and my twin brother, Jack Bold, here,
oh, yeah,
started an independent show. Mm-hmm. And actually, we opened our own Renaissance Fair, too, in New Jersey. We have opened the New Jersey Renaissance Fair 7 years ago. We were 2 of the 5 owners for that, and that's kind of, that was my journey. I just went and loved it so much. Never had any theater background. I was a philosophy major in college, actually. And I just fell in love with interactive theater and kept doing it and grew from there. The seed was planted in my joining the festival days.
Your beginning was deep.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, mine was not so deep, Roger. Yeah, this is Jack Bold. Basically, about the year of our Lord, 1987, it was a slightly rainy day, oddly enough. It's very important later. I walked in through the front gates of the same said place, the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair, and it was a slightly rainy day, and I turned to the right, and I saw the joustings. Oh, yes, jousting, lads with lances and such, sword fighting. Then I turned to the right, and I saw my first bodice.
Mm.
It was a slightly rainy day.
Ah.
The call of the bodice.
And I knew at that time I was home. And I never left. I just never left.
You're old.
I am.
It's crazy.
I'm your older brother, Roger.
I know. 2 minutes.
I know I'll probably regret this story, but I'm going to tell it anyway.
Tell away.
My very first Renaissance Fair, I came here with my brother Hatter Senior, and I wasn't the Hatter then. We came in regular garb, not regular garb. We had our flares, our hats with the feathers, and our outfits and our swords. And we went and saw the Washerwoman show.
Mm.
Yes. And during that show, one of the women had grabbed her breast and it squeaked. And I told my brother, I said, well, I wish she wouldn't have done that. Now I want to squeeze her boobie and make it squeak. Well, he thought I was speaking figuratively, where I was not. Later on that day, I had noticed that she and her fellow cohorts were taking lunch. And I swear to God, God bless her, she stayed in character and I didn't end up with a face full of soup. She had two soup bowls in her hands. Well, she was coming toward me, and jokingly, I put my hand out toward her, squeezed my hand, and said, may I, jokingly. Well, she leaned into me and said, why, of course, good sir. Well, not passing up an opportunity like this, I took a handful of the breast that she had squeezed during the show and squeezed. There was no squeak.
Well.
Instead, I received... yes. Instead, I received a, nay, nay, good sir, nay, nay, God bless her, stay in character again. Well, in a panic mode here, nay, nay, thinks to me, says, if I can make the other one squeak, I'm home free. So I grab the other breath and squeeze again, hoping to hear a squeak. Again, no squeak. Instead, nay, nay, good sir. By this point, she's laughing. She understands what's going on. Her friends are laughing. And there was a bit of a confusion because, see, she had purchased a new necklace that day. So when I reached my hand out and said, may I? And she leaned in and she thought I was referring to her wonderful necklace that she had just bought. Now, I looked at her. I said, now, hold on. I was like, now, what did those puppies squeak during that show? And she says, it's a squeaker in my hand. I was like, oh, well. The only thing I could do at that point was hold my hands up in the air and say, awkward, and walk off. That was my first Renaissance fair. After that day, I said, you know, these people are good sports. I am hooked. That was my first Renaissance fair.
Whoa.
I almost expected a little poster saying, beware the booby bandit.
I think I understand you so much better
you
now.
You can, I'm sure.
Do you remember the question, Andrew?
Yeah, yes.
Somehow I've managed
Somehow you
to.
Do. It was a good story.
Well, following that... I had been going to Ren Fairs. This is Andrew McKee, by the way. I'd been going to Ren Fairs for 10 years prior, and a good friend of mine, Mark Gunn, he came up to me and said, hey, there's a new Ren Fair just outside of town we should try out. And he knew that I loved Renaissance music, and he loved playing more folk music, and we just got together and tried it, and we learned 5 songs and went to the tryouts and did it. And they hired us on the spot.
Wow.
Huzzah!
Huzzah to that,
so,
yes.
It was very sword in the stone-like.
Yes.
We just did it.
Yes. And you're so talented. I heard a song that you wrote earlier.
And that fair, someone saw us there and said, you should play at our fair. And we went to that fair. And then we went to another fair, and another fair, and another. Huzzah! And the next thing you know, we're doing this for a living.
It was quite an affair.
So yes.
Happens to the best of us.
So you might appreciate this. We sort of fell into it.
Yes, fell right into it. Along with Alice. That poor girl falls down more rabbit holes.
Exactly.
Okay, so our next song up is The Cuckoo's Nest by Chase Treasure from Chase Treasure.
I wonder if I know them.
There's a corner in the garden where the lads and lasses meet. For it wouldn't do to do the do the do it in the street. The first time that I went there, I was very much impressed to see the young folks rumpling up the cuckoo's nest. And it's high the cuckoo, low the cuckoo, high the cuckoo's nest. High the cuckoo, low the cuckoo, high the cuckoo's nest. I'll give any man a shilling and a bottle of the best to rumple up the feathers of the cuckoo's nest. I met him in the morning and I had him in the night. He'd never gone that way before and had to do it right. He never would have found it, no, he never would have guessed if I hadn't shown him where to find the cuckoo's nest. And it's high the cuckoo, low the cuckoo, high the cuckoo's nest. High the cuckoo, low the cuckoo, high the cuckoo's nest. I'll give any man a shilling and a bottle of the best to rumple up the feathers of me cuckoo's nest. I showed him where to find it and I showed him where to go through the prickles and the brambles where the little cuckoos grow. From the moment that he found it, I would never let him rest till he rumpled up the feathers of me cuckoo's nest. And it's high the cuckoo, low the cuckoo, high the cuckoo's nest. High the cuckoo, low the cuckoo, high the cuckoo's nest. I'll give any man a shilling and a bottle of the best to rumple up the feathers on the cuckoo's nest. It was thorny, it was prickled, it was feathered all around. It was tucked into a corner where it wasn't easy found. I said, young man, you're blundering. He said it was left me with the makings of a young cuckoo. And it's high the cuckoo, low the cuckoo, high the cuckoo's nest. High the cuckoo, low the cuckoo, high the cuckoo's nest. I'll give any man a shilling and a bottle of the best to rumple up the feathers of me cuckoo's nest. And it's high the cuckoo, low the cuckoo, high the cuckoo's nest. High the cuckoo, low the cuckoo, high the cuckoo's nest. I'll give any man a shilling and a bottle of the best to rumple up the feathers of the cuckoo's nest. I'll give any man a shilling, man a shilling, and the best to rumple up the feathers of the cuckoo's nest.
And now for a minute with Fugly.
Duff McGregor sat next to a stranger in the pub one night. So what brings you to these parts?
Oh, I'm just a hunter passing through.
Really? So what do you hunt?
Well, I've been following a unicorn.
That's incredible. So how do you go about catching one of those?
It's not easy. When I suspect the unicorn is near, I hire a virgin to sit around the woods singing softly to herself. Eventually, the unicorn should come and put his head in her lap. Then I spring my snare.
That's incredible. They must be hard to find. I mean, I've heard of them, but I've never seen one.
Yep, and there ain't many unicorns around either. This minute brought to you by your good friends at Povera.com.
As I was going to Ballinair the day, I well remember the view of the lads and lasses on the 5th day of November with a meringue-a-day. The meringue-a-do-a-daddy, old meringue-a-day. The meringue-a-do-a-daddy, oh. As I was going along the road, I saw what I was walking. I heard a wee lad behind the dish to his wee lass was talking with a meringue-a-day. The Marine.
Song was As I Was Going to Balamer by Maiden 3 from Charm and Fire. So we're back with our guests again. Our next question up is, what do you like most about Renaissance fairs?
Well, this is Roger Awesome. As a performer, my favorite part about it is actually the interactive theater situation. We are actually in a very unique, amazing situation where, unlike people who are performing on television or on the stage, we actually get to meet and interact with the people who are our fans, and they get to know our characters, and we have the ability to have a 35-acre stage here that we can perform on the whole day. So it's really quite amazing. But that closeness and proximity with our fans is what I enjoy most. I feel like we're actually able to do. My brother and I actually, we wrote a book. It's the Adventurer's Handbook. And our goal is to help people learn that they can live a life of adventure in their daily lives. And I have seen firsthand from our cast in New Jersey and from ourselves and people we've talked to the amazing amount of good that can be done in the world by these children coming into the gates and the people who maybe had a bad day but leave smiling and just really get to experience something wonderful that you don't get to experience a lot. We're so busy stuck in our screens and on our computers and on our iPhones that we don't actually shake anybody's hand anymore. So that is amazing to people. It's kind of sad that that is so amazing. When someone comes up and actually speaks to you, it's an amazing thing. But it is. And that high-touch, human, interactive theater is just an amazing, beautiful experience.
I'm with you on that, Roger. One of my favorite thing about the whole Renaissance Fair thing is it's one of the last vestiges of true whole family entertainment, where the whole family can go somewhere and enjoy a day together, and they can all have fun on their own level. And that is incredibly rare.
That doesn't cost $100 to get.
Andrew, you sound so different.
Why, thank you.
Hi, everyone. Mm-hmm. This is Shoshana, a.k.a. Tuvia of Wandering Gypsy Theater.
And Hilma, a.k.a. Kimberly of Wandering Gypsy Theater.
They've decided to crash our party.
Can't leave the guys by themselves. They are gypsies.
We're talking about the kids and having the family-friendly entertainment, I have noticed. I've done many things. I do parades and parties and here and there. And one thing I've noticed is even in places like Disney World and things like that, parents tend to have a close hold on their children. They don't let them go too far from them for safety purposes. But I noticed here, you could tell it's such a family-friendly entertainment that the parents feel comfortable letting their children run ahead and go and play a game here, go play a game here. In talking about the education with the children, one of my favorite parts of the fair is when the schools come, because they're learning about the Renaissance period. And something I've learned over the years is tactile touch, smells, being able to touch and see firsthand attaches memory better. So they learn these things, and they're able to remember it better. So it's amazing to see them learn, their little brains turning like a clock. Yeah, I think that's wonderful.
I like also, this is Kimberly, that working here at the Ren Fair with children, it gives them license to be silly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of their world, they're told to sit still, watch your hands, do what you're told,
be quiet.
Pay attention. Yeah. And here, I love to be able to get the kids to play and just be silly.
Yeah.
And the adults, too.
The adults,
absolutely,
too, yeah.
Absolutely. Especially the adults. Some of them are so trapped up in their worlds that it's nice to be of a different world for them. Yeah.
That we just had a Time Travelers Weekend, and that is basically the excuse for everyone who wants to dress up.
Fly their freak flag.
That's right. And it is so great because they're
fly it proudly.
Few places in the world where you can come and be a weirdo and be normal.
Yeah,
I think it's funny. As the Mad Hatter, it's funny. When you see some of the parents that the kids are interested in something over here, and they grab a hold of their child and say, "Come, take a picture with the Hatter. Do you really want to take a picture with the Hatter?" And the children are like, "I want to go play right quick." And they're like, "Come." And I tell them, I was like, you can take a picture without your children. And it's really them that's wanting the picture.
I tell them it's okay. Yes, giving them permission to have fun.
Have fun and be silly.
And feel free. And like a child again, or just have life.
I agree with everything all of you have said. For me, I got into it with a very narrow focus. I mean, I enjoyed the other shows, the fighting, the comedy, everything. But music was so much my focus early on. I really got into not just the music of the Renaissance, but music of the Renaissance Fair, and I just absorbed it. I was the guy that would go into every single music shop at the Renaissance Fair and sort through every single bin, look for it.
He's covered in music instruments
everything. Right now. I was the guy that would go to the flute maker and say, "What do you have new? I need a new thing."
It sounds like a bard to me.
And I it just worked out that I could. I always wanted to play at a Renaissance festival, and then when I got the chance, it was like a dream come true.
Oh, nice.
I have to pay you a compliment. Today we had tea with the Queen, and he came and played, and it was so cute. They had a young girl sitting next to me, and she was excited to have tea, and I was the Hatter right next to her, and he came and played, and when he left, she looked at me. She says, "Mad Hatter." I said, "Yes, my dear." She says, "Can you do that?" I was like, "My dear, I'm not as good as he. I don't know." Yes,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, our next song up is Whistling Gypsy by Maidens 4.
It's like they knew we were coming.
Aww. Emerald Fire.
Welcome, my lords and ladies.
Welcome.
I'm Liz Rodriguez.
I'm Nicole Keating.
And we're the ladies of the tower.
I love our tower, don't you?
I do, and I love ladies.
Me too. like me. Today, we're going to discuss something ever so exciting.
Oh, I love excitement as well.
Renaissance dreams.
Oh, like the dream I had last night about a very particular night. I definitely also have dreams about losing all of my teeth.
Oh, that's awful and ghastly, and I have those too.
It's terrible.
Do you want to know what it means?
What does it mean? That I'm really going to lose all of my teeth and only be able to gum all of my food for the rest of eternity?
You already do that.
That's true.
But it means that you're going to lose something, like money, riches, your faculties, or other necessary matters to life.
I hope not my wardrobe.
No, you won't lose that, hopefully.
All right. I'd rather lose my mind than my dresses.
If you have black, rotten, worm-eaten, or broken teeth in your dream, it means you'll lose your current miseries and problems.
Oh.
So it's not all bad.
That's not too bad.
If you're a servant and you lose your teeth, it means...
I'm not a servant, no, but go on.
But it does mean you'll be freed, and we are trapped in this tower, aren't we?
Oh.
And if you're a merchant, it means you'll get a delivery soon. So turn off those notifications on your phone from Amazon because your dreams will do all the work for you.
The package is in the mail.
Want to find out more about Renaissance dreams? Well then, check out episode 39 of Rude Tudors, which you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, and RudeTudors.com. This has been a moment in Renfest history. Wake up!
Hello.
Hi, my name is Kate Nickel from Owl Moon Studios, and we are listening to the Renaissance Festival podcast.
As I stroll by the dockside one morning's affair, to take the salt water and breathe the sea air, I spied an old fisherman singing this song. Help me now, boys, for my time isn't long. Dress me up in me oilskins and jumper. No more by the docks I'll be seen. Just tell me, old shipmates, I'm taking a trip, mates, and I'll see you someday in Fiddler's Green. Now Fiddler's Green is a place I hear tell, where the fishermen go if they don't go to hell, where the sun always shines and the dolphins do play, and the cold coast of Greenland is far, far away. Dress me up in me oilskins and jumper. No more by the docks I'll be seen. Just tell me, old shipmates, I'm taking a trip, mates, and I'll see you someday in Fiddler's Green, where the weather is clear and there's never a gale, and the fish jump on board with a flip of their tail. You lie on the decks and there's no work to do, and the captain's below making tea for the crew. Dress me up in me oilskins and jumper. No more by the docks I'll be seen. Just tell me, old shipmates, I'm taking a trip, mates, and I'll see you someday in Fiddler's Green. When you pull into port and the long day is through, there's pubs and there's clubs, and there's lassies there too. The girls are all pretty, and the beer is all free, and there's bottles of rum lying under each tree. Dress me up in me oilskins and jumper. No more by the docks I'll be seen. Just tell me, old shipmates, I'm taking a trip, mates, and I'll see you someday in Fiddler's Green. Well, I don't want a harp, not a halo, not me. Just give me a deck and the free rolling sea. The wind in the rigging will sing me a song, and I'll play my old squeeze box as we roll along. Dress me up in me oilskins and jumper. No more by the docks I'll be seen. Just tell me, old shipmates, I'm taking a trip, mates, and I'll see you someday in Fiddler's Green. Just tell me, old shipmates, I'm taking a trip, mates, and I'll see you someday in Fiddler's Green.
That last song was Fiddler's Green by Whiskey Bay Rovers from Shantyman's Folly. You know, I've already asked this question, but since the girls are here now, they should have a different twist on this. What was the strangest patron you have encountered at fair?
Oh, what's your name again? That's this guy. This guy's
excluding.
Like, yeah.
Excluding.
He's like, yeah, yeah. Come record my podcast.
Yeah. Sure, whatever, dude. That sounds legit.
That's right. A tough question.
I meant to put that in there.
Who used to dress up as the Mad Hatter.
Oh, yeah.
Strangest patron at fair. That's gonna be
strangest experience with a patron at fair.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Well, okay.
Just now.
Yeah, we should probably talk about our day
today. Today was the best day ever.
Yeah, it was a pretty incredibly.
We decided
epic day.
It was Gypsy Valentine's Day because we got candy and jewelry and cash and flowers today.
Wow.
It was like the best day.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Who was in trouble?
Some guy just gave us A lot of money.
Wow.
To throw 200 mousetraps on the heads of two jugglers.
Yeah.
And, oh, well, and there you go.
And we did.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. Best day ever.
Yeah. And then we had some very dear friends of
ours.
Like a family of patrons. Mm-hmm. Make us two
tote bags.
Like 20 pounds of homemade chocolate and candy.
We each got a bag.
Yeah.
It was insane. Mm-hmm.
Come on over.
How do you get in here?
The other way.
That's Paulo Garbanzo.
That's Paulo Garbanzo. He's trapped.
Rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get in that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then.
So no one yelled to him, "It's a trap! It's a trap!"
Yeah. So I wouldn't say those were strange, but
yes.
I mean those are actually pretty par for the course.
Yes.
The Renaissance Fair.
Did he make it in?
Yeah, Paulo just broke in.
Yeah. Literally. Mm-hmm.
Jugglers.
I do what I want.
Do what you want. What you want.
So okay. I think so. That might be today.
Today might be the weirdest patient experience.
Yeah, that was pretty incredible.
So the question is, what was the strangest patron you have ever encountered? Experience with a
that you can say on a podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The strangest patron I've ever encountered.
Or like the strangest patron.
You might want to introduce yourself before you start.
Hi, I'm Paulo Garbanzo.
Garbanzo.
Juggler, a jester of a castle in England, the Muncaster Castle. Winner of the International Jester Competition. Just about to start a show. It was like 15, 20 minutes before a show starts. So I was like, I'll just walk around and go out and see, you know, and try to get some more people to come to the show or whatever. And there was five guys sitting there already in the seating area, and I was like, oh, I'll just say, come over and say hi to him. And I was like, hey, fellas, what's going on? And the guy looks at me and goes, you got long hair, you're gay. And I was like,
how scandalous.
I'm sorry, excuse me? Like, what? I mean, at the time I had long hair. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you got long hair. Oh, all right. You know, and I was like, hey, I think we got off on the wrong foot here. You know,
okay.
I was like, and hey, by the way, you're at a Renaissance Festival. Most of the guys here have long hair. That's all he would say. Now that you've established that my hair makes me gay, why don't you try working on something else, like my nose, or maybe my eyes, or my teeth, something that will actually help you build the case to my gaydom.
Right.
And he would just say, you got long hair, you're gay. And I was like, really, dude? So you're not even being funny. I mean, you're not even like, I can't, you're not giving me anything to work with here, pal. And so I tried for 10 minutes to try to like
change the argument, switch it around, become his friend, become his enemy, do the, I agree, do the, I didn't know, and like every single thing, and all he would say is, you got long hair, you're gay. You don't really want to call security, but it's like, I'm like, I'm so close.
How far can you get?
He went there.
The show is about to start. I'm telling people to go away, because I'm like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this guy. I'm not sure. I'm telling people to just come back to the next show. Just come back to the next show. I'm literally telling people to leave.
That's sad.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm going to handle this guy.
All because of one man. Yeah.
I'm going to figure out this situation. I'm going to handle this guy. I'm going to do it. And then I was like, wait a minute. I figured, I got you now. You just say it one more time. You say your little catchphrase one more time. I got you. And so he's like, you got long hair. You're gay. And I turned around and went, Jesus has long hair.
Ooh, how scandalous.
Are you making fun of Jesus?
Oh, very good, very good.
And that's when I saw in his little tiny brain, I saw a neuron fire from one side and it went to the other. And it went, I've called everybody with long hair a homosexual. And then it went and was like, yes. And then it went to the other side and went, every picture I've ever seen of Jesus has long hair. And then it fired back to the other side and went, I have just called Jesus a homosexual. And then he had a seizure.
Oh, are you serious?
Oh, wow. Dead serious. Short-circuited his brain. Fell over like a sack of potatoes. And then I said, and that's what you get for making fun of me and Jesus.
There we go. Stop the mic.
Bye. I'm out. I didn't even do the show. I walked away. I was like, I'm so done.
Done.
I walked away. Guy came up to me and was like, that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Handed me $20 right there. I was like,
wow. There you go. And happy on birthday to everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, with that thought, our next song up is Do Re Beer by the Limey Birds from Tweet.
This song is very old and it's very traditional, so we have to sing it with a bit of respect, right, ladies?
Right.
It's traditional. It's hallowed, even.
So it must be sung with respect.
Respect. Are you ready?
Ready.
Do, the stuff that buys my beer. Ray, the one that pours my beer. Hi, Ray. Me, the one that drinks my beer. Fa, a long way to the privies. So, I'll have another beer. La, I'll have another beer. Tea, no thanks, I'll have a beer. And that brings us back to do, do, do.
Sing along now,
do. The stuff that buys my beer. Ray, the one that pours my beer. Hi, Ray. Me, the one that drinks my beer. Fa, a long way to the privies.
I don't think I can make it.
So, I'll have another beer.
Yeah!
La, I'll have another beer.
Yeah!
Tea, no thanks, I'll have a beer. And that brings us back to do.
Huzzah!
Hello, this is the New Minstrel Review, and you're listening to Renaissance Festival Podcast.
Delighting in your company.
vows you've broken like my heart. Oh, why did you so enrapture me? Now I remain in a world apart, but my heart remains in captivity. Green sleeves was all my joy. Green sleeves was my delight. Green sleeves was my heart of gold, and who but my lady green sleeves? I have been ready at your hand to grant whatever you crave. I have both wagered life and land, your love and goodwill for to have. Green sleeves was all my joy, green sleeves was my delight. Green sleeves was my heart of gold, and who but my lady green sleeves.
Song was Green Sleeves by Lady Prudence from All's Fair. So we're back with whatever guests we still have hanging around.
It's Wandering Gypsy Theater.
And some
Paula Garbanzo.
And some guy. And the rest.
So the question now is, how have you seen Renaissance fairs change over time?
The acts that are coming onto the circuit now have never known a time when there wasn't established Renaissance fair acts.
Oh,
so like my friends who, when I first got into it, and they're the ones who were like, you know, well, we don't know if Texas is going to open next year. You know, Texas, the biggest fair ever with 80,000 people a day. And they're like, you know, back in the day, yeah, it was all, you know, it was all very, very shifty, like, you know, a new fair coming up in the world. And, you know, when I got on the circuit, these fairs are established. They're going for 25 years, you know. There's, like, that first group of performers that, you know, Ren fairs were not an established thing when they started. And so they kind of, like, built it and made it, you know. And then now, then you have, like, the second wave and the third wave of performers who are like, oh, that's a pretty solid job and I could come back next year for sure if they hire me. I hope I get hired and not a, I hope they open the fair next year because it may not open. Like the third wave, the third wave of performers established in Ren Faire world that we can turn around and make jokes about the Ren Faire world because it's all we've ever known. And it's not a bad thing. And, you know, there's more Stormtroopers and Star Trek people, and a lot of festivals are doing this time-traveling weekend, which is what they're doing this weekend at Louisiana.
You know, the Renaissance Fair draws geeky people. It's a given. I mean, they draw
fans. It's already a subculture.
It's bound to happen. They're going to bring their geekdom in with them.
Right.
You turn around, you see a TARDIS sitting in the lane in a Renaissance Fair.
Yeah. So, like, we've been doing this act for 5 years, but we both did Ren Fairs on our own.
As teenagers.
Yeah. So, and there was definitely, like, when I did my first Ren Fair, people come in dressed as Klingons, and everyone, like, working the Ren Fair would be like, oh, frickin' Star Trek people. Like, they don't belong here.
Yeah.
Like, that is that not was a fit. Thing. But now it's like, yay, Star Trek people are here. Like, we're just like, yay, we're all geeks, we're all together. So there's definitely, like, a shift in that attitude, because it's sort of acknowledged that, like, hey, those geek worlds can shift, and those lines can be blurred. They don't have to be a separate thing. I think that's a cool thing.
Our next song up is Drunkard's Prayer by Malarkey and Poppycock. Okay. A drink to all.
Our lager, which art in barrels, hallowed be thy drink. For I will be drunk, as thou will be drunk, on earth as it is in the pub. Give us this day our foamy head, and forgive us our spillages, as we may forgive those who do spill against us. And lead us not into incarceration, but deliver us from hangovers. For thine is the bitter, the beer, and the lager. Barmen.
My name's the Lord Rusty of Red Bulls. Which is a visual thing more than anything. Won't work in this medium. But you're listening to the Renaissance Festival podcast right now.
As I went out one morning on the 14th of July, I met a maid and I asked her age, and she gave me this reply. I have a little medal I kept for you in store, and it's only due, I should tell you true, never was mowed before. I ediladum, ediladum, it never was mowed before. She said, me handsome young man, if for more that you be, I'll give you good employment, so come along with me. Well, it was me good employment to wander up and down with my tearing scythe all too contrived to mow her meadow down. I had a lot of mud, a lot of to mow her meadow down. And with courage being undaunted, I stepped out on the ground. My tearing side, I then did strive to mow her meadow down. I mowed from 9 till dinner time, it was far beyond my skill. I was obliged to yield and to quit the field, and the grass was growing still. I did let 'em, I did let 'em, the grass was growing still. Mower she kissed and did protest, this fair maid being so young. Her little eyes they glittered like to the rising sun. She said, I'll strive to sharpen your scythe, so set it in me hand, and then perhaps you'll return again to mow me meadowland. Hi, diddle-a-dum, diddle-a-dum, meadowland. I did let 'em, I did let 'em to mow me meadowland.
That last song was The Mower by Mark Gunn from Kilted for Her Pleasure.
Mark Gunn. Oh, that guy. Oh, man.
I love him.
Oh. No, he's lovely.
He is. He's a dear friend.
Yes.
Everybody dishes Marshall.
Everybody. He's such a beautiful target.
He is a fantastic guy.
Such an easy target.
He's so great.
Oh, not the easiest target. The easiest target is Andrew.
Andrew McKee.
Who we also love as well.
Easiest target ever.
Such an easy target.
Okay, well, that's it for the show.
And Andrew. We love you, Andrew. You're great.
Thank you, David, for having us on.
Bye.
That's Tuvia.
That's Hilma.
We are Wandering Gypsy Theater.
And I'm Paula Garbanzo. Thanks for having me.
And I'm David. We're going to end with the song Dirty Old Bird by Mallory and McCall from Kings of the Sea.
Was an old woman who lived all alone, who would sit looking out from her chair, for she doted on creatures with cute fuzzy features, the hedgehog, the deer, and the hare. Nearby in a port town a sailor man died, the result of a swaggering fall. And the old lady heard there was orphaned a bird that nobody wanted at all. The thought of the bird all alone made her sad, and she said, "Why not give him to me? A birdie so sweet would be a great treat, and together we'll age gracefully."
"Not this one,"
the townsfolk cried out in dismay.
"He's not fit for one such as you. He's big and he's green and he even talks me in a voice that is raucous and blue."
"Oh, pish," said the woman, "just bring him to me. I'll befriend him and all will be jolly." So without one more word, they gave her the bird. Said she, "What a tea cake, dear Polly."
Rapid, dark, back of your beak, buckets of blood, yellow and squeak. Body house bird, be they that bird, no heart check for me or else we all leak.
Dirty old bird, dirty old bird, this is a man with a mess on the head.
Here we all heave a hoe, a lay him in gore, below the Mandela, you blow him before, scurvy old bum, dizzy eyed, still my old bum, old bird, let me to the core.
Dirty old bird, dirty old bird, this is a man with a mess on the head.
Don't wonder me that his eyes sit on the rails, clamp the rat lines, run up the stairs, puddles of grog, devil's old dog, don't let that dead man start telling more tales.
The old lady blinked and regarded the bird, who whistled and nibbled his claw, and preened all his feathers and sniffed at his nethers and laughed in a raucous haw-haw. As they looked at each other, he ruffled and bobbed, and she took a sip of her tea. The lady then said, "Now I'll send you to bed if you speak such language to me." The canny green bird knew she meant what she said, but he didn't know any but rude words. So he uttered a sound that was mellow and round, not at all what one hears from such crude birds. The woman regarded the bird with a grin, "My crackers are fresh and home-baked." The bird croaked,
"Me mate, your biscuits smell great."
And soon both their hungers were slaked. "Well, shiver me timbers," the old lady smiled, "you toad-spotted son of a tart." And they opened their maws with friendly guffaws as they sang out with unfettered heart.
"Wash our mouths, bring on the soap, we're two of a kind, together we cope.
Don't tell anyone, but when I was young, I lived a pirate who swung from a rope.
Dirty old bird, dirty old bird, this is the mate with the mass on the air.
You're a bird just like me for riding a ship, life of the rover's a bloody good trip. Belay that tea, you're wondering for me, open your butthole and pour me a sip.
Dirty old bird, dirty old bird, this is the mate with the mass on the air.
Shake your cannonball, shake like a gull, hatches a bamboo, rums in the hole, spit in your eye, drink to your
world. Grimy, white livered curse of me life. Silly old albatross, don't you cause strife? You run a hard graft, tight for an F. Stop with your nagging, you sound like a wife.
Daddy, oh dad, daddy, oh dad. This is the name of the vessel we had.
Get it yourself, under me keg. Look under me bottle and you'll find the peg. Hearken to me, go fetch the key, or you'll wish you never hatched out of an egg.
Daddy, oh dad, daddy, oh dad. This is the name of the vessel.
Oh, bless you, good woman, right proud you will be. This hero, Polly, list to delay. I'll give you a feather, and we'll flock together. The lady, the bird, and the kingdom to see.
Dirty old man, dirty old man. This is the name of the muscle man.
Together they put down a barrel of grog, and when they were done they drank tea. For though it sounds jaded, the battle soon faded to verbiage quite salty and free. And so the old lady, and so the old bird, continue to sip as we speak. And as far as we know, through their dotage they go, still bawdy though long in the beak.
With a way and a hay and an upward we rises to fly with the wind in piratical guises.
Clubbers beware.
A proof in your hair.
So give us a kiss, this begin we come sizes.
Daddy old lad, daddy old lad, this is a bit with a mess on the air.
A knob and a rump below on our bunk.
A whisper of a stink like the lid of a skunk.
The old mini rats, scurvy old cats, hang from the yard arm and getting all drunk.
Daddy old lad. Daddy O'Bad, this is the name with a bass on their head. Daddy O'Bad, Daddy O'Bad, this is the name with a bass on their head.
The fair is over. The sun begins to set. The cast gathers to feast among the clovers. Friends hug. Enemies hug too. Another year for us to take animosity and shrug. The drums still linger. The story is set. Music overwhelms a sad ballad singer. It passed too quick. What happened to time when musicians would gather to play a few licks? Hold me a moment. Don't say a word. Let me inhale so I can smell the magic that's floating. Another year passes. I think I must have blinked. There's too much I missed and not enough lasses.
The Renaissance Festival podcast is brought to you by the fans and performers and the podcast minions. If you enjoy the music you heard, visit renaissancefestivalmusic.com and find out more about the artists who make the music happen. Share your support, buy their music, and tell your friends about the great music you found here. We will see you at the fair. Sláinte.